This program was brought to you by Eat On North. Eat On North is a casual restaurant where honest, uncomplicated food is served without pretension. Find Eat On North at hotelonnorth.com.
I am Patrick Martins, host of The Main Course. You are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Greetings and welcome to Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher, also known as the Food Healer, and we're starting up a new season today, and I'm terribly excited about it. We've got some really good guests scheduled, and it's also National Penguin Day. Hey! So give a big shout out and big love to all your penguin friends out there, and we can get this started. Today, I am going to be interviewing Jeannie Seelander, who is the farm supervisor of the Monroe County Sheriff's Office Animal Farm, located down the Florida Keys. And I'm really excited about this. This is a really, really cool program, and I'm psyched to share it with you guys. So, Jeannie, are you there?
I am. You're real scratchy, though. It's a little hard to hear you.
I'll see what I can do. You sound perfect, so the good news
great.
Is I can hear you good. So, how are you today?
I'm sorry?
Everything okay today? Everything good?
Yeah, I'm just really having a hard time hearing you.
Okay. When we get to the break, we'll see if we can fix something on that. So let's start off, simple question. Where is your zoo located specifically?
We are located on Stock Island in Key West, Florida, at the Monroe County Sheriff's Office Detention Center.
And how long has the zoo been open?
It's been open about 22 years now.
And what makes your zoo so special and unique?
I think there are a lot of things that make it unique. First of all, that it is one of the only petting zoos that we've ever found exists at a zoo that's open to the public in the country. Also, we're open to the public a couple Sundays a month for people to come visit the animals. So we do a lot of things with the community. We rescue animals that need homes. Animals that have been abandoned, abused, confiscated, or donated come here, and they're given a forever home. And the most unique part of it is, I guess, that the inmates help us care for the animals here at the farm.
That's a really, really great thing. I mean, I think that it's a wonderful program to do because so many times inmates don't have enough to do, so this gives them some skills. And, I mean, how's it been working out?
It's great. It's a wonderful program, and I'm so glad that the sheriff lets us continue it.
That's wonderful. And how did that start?
It was completely by accident. It started about 22 years ago with some ducks that were crossing the road between the jail and the golf course, and they were getting hit by cars, and we had an empty space beneath the jail, and one of the deputies said, let's round up the ducks and make a break area for the deputies with a little pond and a picnic table, and that's what happened. And then the word went up the Keys that we were taking in animals, and it all kind of grew from there.
And so did you work at the jail before all of this?
No, I didn't. I came in about 10 years ago specifically to take over the farm and bring it back to what it should be. It was kind of falling apart and had a lot of USDA violations and citations and not very many animals, and they asked me to make it something special, so I did.
That's wonderful. And so what kind of animals do you guys have there besides ducks?
We have lots of farm animals, and those would be your typical ducks and geese, chickens and donkeys, miniature horses, a bull, sheep, goats, pigs. And then we have our exotic animals, which aren't quite as normal to have. we have a sloth named Mo.
Oh,
we
cool.
have a ring-tailed lemur, and we have a couple of kinkajous. We also have lots of exotic snakes and lizards because people love to buy them as pets, but they don't want to keep them for very long.
Yeah. So are you getting animals that are being rescued, or are these animals that, like we did a show about Florida wildlife and talked about all the snakes that are being released in the Everglades. So, like, you guys going to the Everglades and getting these snakes, or are these, like, things that people own that they can't take care of?
No, these were people's pets.
Okay.
That they've either surrendered to the SPCA, who then gives them to me, or they've surrendered them to us. But all of our animals have been abandoned, abused, confiscated, or donated.
Wow. I can't believe you've got like a sloth and kinkajous. I mean, that's crazy that those were even allowed as pets at some point.
People buy tigers and lions as pets. If you have the proper permits and enough money, you can buy anything, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's true. Wow, that's such a scary thought.
It is.
<on track>. So, in the jail itself, is working with the animals, is this considered a rehab program? Like, do people qualify to do this?
It is by request. Usually, they can write in a request to work on the farm, and some of them are in the drug offenders program, mm-hmm. and they can work on the farm as part of their rehab, part of their program, and some of them just are looking for something to do while they're sitting in jail, so that they're not just sitting around doing nothing. There are actually some that want to be productive.
Nice. And how long is an inmate typically at the Monroe County Sheriff's Office?
Since this is just a detention center, their maximum sentence can be 364 days. So if they're sentenced to more than that, then they go to prison.
Makes sense. Okay. And then, so the animals are all rescued, and when they get to you, I'm assuming some of them are in pretty rough shape.
Some of them are. We've gotten a few horses that were very skinny and on death's door because they were abandoned and finally picked up and had to be fattened back up again. And some of them have been abused, and they've just come from very bad situations. And then we have some that were people's family pets, and they were well cared for and loved, but they just grew tired of them.
Yeah, yeah. That's so sad when that happens, too. It is.
I try to do a lot of outreach and education. I have school groups come tour the farm. I take animals to the schools and various community events and teach about animals being a forever commitment for their lifetime, and they're not disposable.
It's something that has gotten, I feel, in many cases, it's gotten worse and worse over the years of people just like, well, I got an apartment. Like, we see this in New York all the time. You know, an apartment doesn't allow pets. And so, well, I've had this cat for 8 years, but whatever, I got this apartment.
Right.
You know? And so that's a really, really tough thing to educate people about, is just the commitment that's involved, you know?
It is, and I'm trying.
I know you are, girl, and it's like, I really appreciate everything you're doing down there, because it's so important, too. Like, I lived in Key West for a while, and the one thing that I noticed was with the exception of all the cats that adopted everybody, there really aren't that many people that have pets. I don't know if that's changed or not. I mean, I was down there in the late 80s, early 90s, and it seemed like, I mean, I had six cats the first day I moved in because they all lived there and just kind of took over.
Right, all the feral
know?
Cats hanging out. But I don't know. A lot of people I know have cats. Some have pigs. And even know somebody that has a miniature horse as a pet. So,
I love miniature horses.
I don't know. It just depends on what circles you run in, I guess.
So about how many animals do you guys have at the zoo?
We've got about 150 animals,
wow.
About 40 different species.
Wow. Wow, so this is a lot bigger than I just assumed. I mean, you've really grown it into something. This is amazing.
I have. We had about 20 animals when I started 10 years ago, and there was plenty of room, and I, like I said, wanted to make it something special, so I started taking in animals from different places, rescues on the mainland, and animals that were more unusual so that the kids weren't seeing the same goat that they saw time they would come to visit. So now they come in and they say, what do you have new? Because they know that something new's coming in on a regular basis.
And are these mostly animals that you've rescued from the state of Florida, or are they coming from all over the place?
The majority of them are local. They're from the Keys and South Florida area, but there are some from all over the country. I have some from Colorado, some from Wisconsin. I get calls from all over the country for different animals, and we decide if it's something that we can take and provide a good home for, and if we can, then usually they'll ship them to us.
Wow. And so do you find that, since you guys really are in the tropics, I mean, are there certain animals that just will do better down there than others? Are there any that you're just like, no, we can't do this because of the climate?
No, for the most part, everything I've gotten does very well in this climate, especially the exotic animals, because we have the perfect habitat for, you know, similar to a rainforest habitat.
Yeah.
We're about as close as you're going to get to it for these animals. So I haven't had any that I've had to turn away because we don't have the right weather. I've got some alligators that actually came from Denver, Colorado. somebody was raising them there, and so this is actually the perfect place for them. It's much better weather than the snow in Colorado.
Seriously. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get new animals in, like let's say you get in a new duck or something like that, do they have trouble adjusting in with the animals that are already there, since everybody's gone through their own sad stories to get to you, or are they usually okay?
Not usually. They usually fit in pretty well, and I kind of know, I know the animals I have, and I know what their personalities are, so I usually put the new guys, so to speak, with animals that I know are going to take them in and not beat them up. Because sometimes, like with the goats have their own little clique, and they can be bullies to the new goats that come in. And we do have one mama goat, we call her, and mama goat has laminitis, which is basically she has arthritis, and she doesn't walk as well. So we didn't put her with the other goat herd because they would bully her. So I just, every situation is different.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And I'm assuming you know all these animals like family members, basically, at this point.
I call them my children.
Yeah. So who's your favorite kid?
I don't have a favorite. You can't have a favorite kid.
That is such a good mom answer.
You know, everybody sees me with Mo the Sloth, and I was earlier out at Home Depot today picking up some supplies, and somebody said, oh, where's your sloth? And so everybody asked me where he is if he's not hanging on me, because he's probably our most popular animal.
How old is he?
He's 12 years old. We've had him for 7 years, and they typically will live 25 to 30 years in captivity.
And was he, I'm assuming he was a pet, and someone said, wow, this is a really hard animal to take care of?
He was a pet, but the people that donated him to us actually weren't part of the problem. They were trying to be part of the solution. Mm. They had actually rescued him from someone else that had him, and they were caring for him and gave him a wonderful home with several other animals that they had as well, but they were moving, and they were not able to take him along. So they had heard about the farm, and we have a beautiful aviary where all the birds live, and they asked if he could live in the aviary. But they also wrote a series of children's books about rainforest animals, and he used to go to the schools and take Mo the Sloth and read to the children.
Oh.
So instead of just having him at a zoo in a tree, he wanted him to continue his mission. So that is what we do. I take him to the schools and the libraries and different places, and I read to the kids, and I teach about the rainforest animals. And so Mo continues his mission.
That's awesome. And I'm assuming Mo likes this.
He loves it. He's very interactive. He was raised on a bottle from a baby, so he is very used to people. He thinks we're his family.
Aww.
And he has his moods, though. He'll get in a mood every now and then where he's not interested in the attention and not interested in being held, and he will let me know. So I have a travel crate that he goes in, and I usually put him in his crate and give him an ear of corn, and it's just fascinating to watch him eat. So it's for a lot of people, it's just as fun to watch him eat his ear of corn as it is for me to be holding him.
Is it with sloths? I've been trying to do a sloth show, actually, and it's, how often do they sleep? They sleep, like, majorly, don't they?
They do. They sleep about 20 to 22 hours a day, and that's not all in one stint. It's usually, they browse the leaves in the rainforest, they eat a little bit, they'll fall asleep, and they'll get up and browse some more leaves, and then fall asleep. So it's kind of an off and on sleeping.
Totally. So that's got to be interesting, too, when you're doing, like, going to schools and stuff, if he's just sound asleep in his crate.
Yeah,
it's like,
he will. He'll fall asleep while I'm holding him sometimes. He'll even fall asleep while he's holding some food and eating, and then wake back up and eat some more. He's got quite a little personality.
And, like, how big is he?
He's about 20 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's like a real sloth, like grown-up size sloth then.
Yeah, he's full-grown. They mature at about 5 years of age, so he's pretty much been full-grown since we got him.
Wow. And so, like you were saying, I mean, it's always funny for people to hear about, if you haven't lived on a farm or in an area with all different kinds of animals and stuff, like the interactions between them, like the goats can be bullies, you know, and like the chickens can be frantic and all this. Do you have any animal pairings or friendships that have formed within the zoo that you're just kind of blown away by?
Not that I can think of right now. I think it's pretty interesting that the birds in the aviary actually groom the food out of Mo the Sloth's hair when he's finished eating, because he's such a messy eater. And it is pretty fascinating to go in and see the birds around him eating food out of his hair.
That's really funny. That's really funny. It sounds like they've all got a really nice deal there.
Yeah, it's a really nice place, and I'm very, very proud to have people visit it and invite you know, invite people in to come see the animals and enjoy what we have here.
Definitely. And so we need to take a break right now. So we're going to take a quick break. Listen for station identification. I'm talking to Jeannie Sealander of the Monroe County Sheriff's Office Animal Farm. We'll be back in about a minute, minute and a half.
Hi, I'm Brian Alberg, and I'm the executive chef at Eat On North in the Berkshires of Western Massachusetts. Eat On North in the Berkshires of Western Massachusetts is a casual restaurant where good, honest, uncomplicated food is served to our guests. Our restaurant is part of a hotel called Hotel On North, the newly opened boutique hotel in downtown Pittsfield. We source local ingredients from our neighboring farms and offer an all-day dining menu of flavorful American cuisine for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and on weekends we serve brunch. Our oyster bar serves up delicious shellfish and oyster samplers until 11 p.m. Check out our menu at eatonnorth.com and follow us on Instagram.
And we are back. I am talking to Jeannie Sealander. She's the farm supervisor of the Monroe County Sheriff's Office Animal Farm, which is a really awesome zoo located right near Key West in Florida. So, Jeannie, one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, zoos, obviously, there's a lot of challenges in running a zoo because you've got all different animals, all different kinds of foods and stuff. And I know even on the mainland, it's a challenge. Like, what are the issues that you have being way down in the Florida Keys in order to run this?
My main issue is that we are so far down here, and I have to order every 2 weeks for the order to come down. And sometimes they're out of certain things. So I plan ahead and make sure that I'm well stocked with enough to last more than 2 weeks, just in case I call and they say we're out of goat chow. I can either plan another feed to use, or I have a few backup bags on hand. But with the unusual animals, the exotics, it's fortunate for us that Zoo Miami is right up on the mainland, and pretty much any animal I could ever get, they would probably have at the larger zoo there.
Nice.
So our feed company doesn't seem to have any trouble providing food for the exotic animals that we have. But the main thing is just sometimes they run out, and we have to plan ahead.
Yeah. And then, I mean, you've been there long enough that you've actually had to deal with, like, hurricane threats and stuff like that. So what happens when that rolls in?
I have. We don't like to say the H word.
I know. I'm really
here.
Sorry. I know. I'm sorry. This is like the forbidden topic. I apologize.
It is. It is. But, you know, we have to have a plan. And when I came to the farm, there was not a firm hurricane plan. So we are USDA certified and inspected by USDA. So they said, write up a hurricane plan.
Awesome.
And we did. So now we have a plan to evacuate all of our animals into holding pens or into the jail itself.
Mm-hmm.
I have crates for every animal that will fit in one. And if they're too large for a crate, like a horse or a donkey, we have temporary stall pens that we set up in the loading dock, which is elevated 6 feet off the ground.
Wow.
So our main issue here would be flooding.
Yeah.
And all the feed and hay and everything would go with us into the jail. And then if we have a Category 5, which we hope and pray we never have, we would actually evacuate the animals to the mainland. And I have an equine hauler who would come down here with an 18-wheeler and load us up and take us to a farm up on the mainland. So, and we have a farm that would agree to take us, me and the animals.
Yeah, because like when I was, before I got to the Florida Keys in my life, I spent a lot of time working with horses. And as far as I know, I don't remember, like once you got off the mainland and you were in the Keys, I don't remember seeing horse farms. I don't remember seeing a lot of livestock at all.
No, not really. You know, it's kind of off the beaten path in different areas. There are horses. There's some in Big Pine. There's some in Isla Mirada. There's some in Cudjoe Key.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the keys that have a little bit more land off to the sides of US 1 actually have small stables and areas where, you know, rural county areas where you can have goats and pigs and things like that. But down here in Key West, in the city proper, you're not allowed to have any farm animals. So most of my farm variety animals come from up the Keys or South Florida area.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I mean, Key West is so crowded at this point, there's just no room for anything. Like, there's,
right.
you know, even
yeah.
a paddock wouldn't work at all there anymore.
Yep.
When we were talking before the show, I had mentioned that I lived in the Keys. As you know, I lived on Big Pine mm-hmm. Key for a little while. And I was doing volunteer work for a nature center, and they actually have a bird hospital that's a little lighthouse. And it got so well known by the wildlife that injured birds would actually, like, people would go to work and they'd find, like, an injured pelican, like, waiting on its welcome mat to get helped, you know, with, like, a hook in its mouth. And there were stories like this all the time. Do you ever have animals showing up just kind of like, I need some help?
No, I don't usually. Occasionally, I'll have a bird that's, I'll find it out in our pond, and it's injured. Maybe it has a problem with its wing mm-hmm. or a broken leg or injured leg, and I'll catch it and take it to the Wild Bird Rescue Center. But I don't often have pigs or anything like that. It would normally be just our native birds that are around.
That's the truth. That's really funny, actually, now that you think about it. I love it. So what are some of your favorite stories of the zoo? You've got to have some good ones.
I don't know. There's so many. there's just so many wonderful stories about the animals here and the people that interact with them. And the main thing is the bond that the inmates form with the animals and the changes that I see in the inmates as they work with the animals. And then they bring their families back to visit the animals that they cared for, which
wow.
is pretty amazing, because who really wants to come back to jail when
Seriously.
You get out? So they do come back and bring their families. We did have a blind horse that was such a wonderful animal and so kind and patient with everyone. And he had been abandoned on the side of the road up in Miami-Dade County, just left to starve to death, and he was blind. So
God.
He was really one of our biggest success stories. He came to us just skin and bones. Every day he would lay down on his side, and I would look to be sure he was breathing.
Mm.
And you could just see the deputies come to the fence with tears in their eyes. And we fattened him up, and he just was one of the best animals for bonding with the inmates, because they had to talk to him because he couldn't see. So he just passed away last year. We think he was close to 35 years old, and we gave him his second life. So we hope we did the best we could for him. But
that sounds like
one of my favorite stories, I guess.
Wow. And so you were mentioning, like, the changes that you've seen in inmates when they've been working with you guys. Like, what are typical things that you see?
Sometimes I see them come in and they're scared to death of animals. They maybe never have worked with animals. I had one guy that was from New York City, and he was so funny because he said, I've never even been around animals. And
wow.
he ended up being one of my best workers, and he did quite a few media interviews for me, and has come back to visit since his release.
Nice.
And just one of the main things would be their fear. They'd never have worked around animals or large animals. You know, the bull is 2,000 pounds. You know, he's a big baby, but when you look at something that big, if you've never been around an animal before, it's quite intimidating.
Yeah.
We have an emu. He stands almost 6 feet tall, and another one that's just a love bug, but he's definitely intimidating when he's walking up to you and he's just as tall as you are. So I guess, you know, they've overcome their fear to be able to work here with the animals, and that's pretty interesting to me, because some days, the first day, they'll tell me, I'm really not sure about this, I've never worked around animals, and I say, give me a day, and then at the end of the day, tell me what you think, and usually they stick around.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's really great. And I would think, too, like, in that kind of a scenario, you know, or that situation where this is a way for people to get affection and some love, you know, and create a bond with something there, then,
right.
You know?
Some of them have never felt compassion or love, and they come from broken families, and they identify with these animals. I've heard of them even say to the animals before, you're in jail just like me.
Oh.
And, you know, they really identify with these animals, and they do make a special bond with them.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, when I first heard about your story before, I was like, I've got to talk to Jeannie, because this is, it seems like just, it's such an exceptional idea, but after talking to you about it and after learning more about it, it just seems like an absolute no-brainer. Like, this could be something that could really work in different jails all over the country, and you know, to, in order to give people some confidence and to help them get even get some skills and just...
Right. That's my vision, you know, for it. I've had people ask me, you know, what do you see? Do you see it getting bigger? I really don't. We have a limited amount of space, yeah. And as you said, and as you know, Key West is very small, so yeah. We really can't expand very much, but I think the story itself is worth expanding, and I've heard a lot of different comments from people on the Facebook page and on the Internet that more jails should do this,
yeah.
And I hope that they do. I hope that this getting this story out might inspire other places to do something special with animals. And a lot of them do the dogs, which is really incredible, the service dogs,
yeah.
And the dogs from the shelters that need homes, and some out west do the training of the wild Mustangs, and they
wow.
work with horses. Some of them do off-track thoroughbred rehab.
Wow.
So there are a lot of amazing animal programs out there, but nothing quite like our unique petting zoo down here. But, you know, Key West is a crazy kind of place.
Of
all places for it to be, this works.
Totally. I mean, it's like, that was the best part of it. Once I found out, and I was like, Monroe County, awesome! It was like, this is going to be great. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's like, I miss Key West terribly. I went for a month and I stayed for a year, and yeah, it's a wacky little part of town, man, but I love it. I really
yeah.
do, and you guys are awesome. I mean,
there's a lot of special people down here and a lot of animal lovers as well, so we get a lot of support from the community, and we run on donations primarily, so
wow.
that's really important that the community loves us and supports us.
Well, for our listeners that are probably are going to want to learn more about this, I mean, where can we send them so they can find out some more information?
The best place is our Facebook page, because I update it several times a day, and I keep the animals' pictures on there and stories and just all the information about where our events are going to be, where the animals are going to be every weekend when I go places, and what weekends we're open. So our Facebook page is Keys Animal Farm. So
cute.
If you go to Facebook and just type in Keys Animal Farm, all one word, you'll come up with our Facebook page, which is the Monroe County Sheriff's Office Animal Farm.
And if the public would like to visit, are you guys open every day?
We are not. We are only open the second and fourth Sunday of each month from 1 to 3 p.m. And I wish we could be open every day, but I'm just one person.
Yeah, really,
and
my Lord.
I have a lot to do. So, you know, like today, I ran to Home Depot to pick up supplies for building a new prairie dog habitat. So I can't be open every day, and I really wish I could. I'm actually brainstorming a new idea of potentially open up once a week at kind of a pop-up open house,
yeah, yeah.
And tell people, okay, we're going to be open on such and such day at such and such time. Please feel free to come in for that hour. And I'm going to see if that'll work. Right now, I'm just overwhelmed with media and projects, so I might give it a few months, but I've got that in the works.
Yeah, a couple things. One is, oh my God, you have prairie dogs. Like, I'm
yeah.
going to be on the next plane down there. I'm obsessed with those.
I told
like,
you,
prairie
you need to come
dogs.
Visit me.
I mean, I'm so all over this, I can't even tell you. Like, legit. I'm going to go home and look at flights and see if I can get down there. Because I miss you guys. I haven't been down there since the 90s. I need to go see my other peeps besides
wow.
you and everybody
yeah, you
there.
Come see all the changes.
I'm afraid. Honestly, I'm really afraid. Once the COPA burnt down, I was like, oh, Key West, I don't know. So, you know,
aww.
We'll see. But, yeah, between the prairie dogs and then the... I kind of really appreciate the fact that that the zoo isn't open every day, because if you're dealing with, like, animals that were abused and have lots of baggage, and then you're dealing with people as well that have some stuff as well, I think it's almost better that they're just one-on-one without any distractions of the public and all that, and you know, because
right.
it kind of gives them back their confidence and all. Like, I hear you, and I know you want it open more than that, but I think the fact that it's not open all the time
mm-hmm.
is actually pretty beneficial as well.
Right. Yeah, and I wish it could be open at least every weekend and not every other weekend, but it's just, I got to have a day off every now and then.
Yeah, right? Come on, Jeannie, you're asking a lot here. My God, you know.
It's
well,
rare. It's rare to have a day off, but, you know, every now and then I have to have a break so I can do laundry and stuff.
I know. All the fun things in life. Those are the best.
Yeah. Down here, you know, on your day off, you just have to take care of all your errands and everything.
Isn't that the truth? But I got to tell you, the Key West laundromats are a lot of fun. So at least
oh,
it's
yeah?
not too... Yeah, I mean, they weren't too bad when I was down there. We always had a good time. So it was better than doing it in New York, that's for sure.
Wow.
Well, sadly, we are almost out of time, but I just wanted to say, Jeannie, again, thank you so much for what you're doing, and thank you so much. I know you're the busiest woman in the world, so thank you so much for taking time to speak with me.
You're welcome. I appreciate you helping us get our story out there, and we hope more jails and prison facilities might copy us and try to do what we do here.
I would love that. And if there's any way at all that I can help with this, please let me know, because I think what you're doing is really, really brilliant, and I think it would be wonderful in many, many other places besides Key West. So if I can ever help you, let me know. Don't be a stranger. And
wonderful.
I would love to have you on in the future sometime, and we can talk about what else has been going on down there and all that fun stuff.
Okay.
Cool.
That sounds great. Thanks very much.
Thank you. And to all the listeners, thank you guys for listening. I am now on Instagram under Animal Instinct Radio. So you can see all kind of random pictures of my life. Facebook page. You know they got the Animal Instinct page there. So you can like that and be up to date on all the guests. Where else am I? Twitter as Food Healer. Also as Food Healer on Facebook if you're into nutrition, alternative medicine, and all that good stuff. I will be back next week. Thank you guys for listening. And until then, take care.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.